I have a question. Questions of general interest answered for guidance, not as official statements of church policy. Who were the Maccabees, and how did they influence Jewish history? Response by Gay Strathern, instructor in Ancient Scripture at Brigham Young University. The time period between the Old and New Testament is a blank in our scriptures, yet those 400 years were a very significant period in the Holy Land. In many respects, the Holy Land in that era resembled a military chessboard on which two important Greek dynasties, the Seleucids of Syria and the Ptolemies of Egypt, fought for control after the death of Alexander the Great. When the dust settled around 200 BC, the Seleucids, under the leadership of Antiochus III, were the victors. The fundamental cultural and religious differences between these Greeks and their Jewish subjects eventually led to a divisive rift, the repercussions of which are seen in the New Testament. A family that came to be known as the Maccabees had much to do with shaping the political and cultural climate of this New Testament period. We can learn much about this time period from the Old Testament Apocrypha, a group of ancient texts whose name comes from a Greek word meaning hidden. The early Christian fathers knew of these texts and cited them. But Christian faiths have long been ambivalent about whether they are truly scripture. While translating the Bible, the prophet Joseph Smith sought the Lord's advice about these texts. He was told that they contain many interpolations by the hands of men, and, therefore, it is not needful that the Apocrypha should be translated. Doctrine and Covenants, section 91, verses 2 and 3. But the Lord also declared that these books include many things that are true, and whoso is enlightened by the Spirit shall obtain benefit therefrom. Doctrine and Covenants, section 91, verses 1 and 5. Some of the important historical truths we can glean from them are found in their accounts of conflict between the Jews and their Greek rulers between the era of Roman rule. At the center of the conflict were three main groups: the Jewish high priests, the Seleucid leaders, particularly Antiochus III's son, Antiochus IV, and the Jewish Hasmonean family, who became famous in history as the Maccabees. Two texts from the Apocrypha, 1 and 2 Maccabees, help illuminate some of the historical shadows of this period and give us valuable New Testament background. The high priests. In Leviticus 21:10, the Lord designates the high priest as one upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, consecrated to put on the priesthood garments. As the presiding officer in the Aaronic priesthood, he was to be a literal descendant of Aaron and was also required to observe higher levels of purity than others because he was Jehovah's representative among the people. The Lord instructed, "He shall be holy unto his God." Leviticus chapter 21, verse 6. During the reign of Antiochus III, the high priest was Onias III, who had inherited the office from his father and traced his lineage back to Aaron through Eleazar. See Exodus chapter 28, verse 1. And Zadok, see 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 3 through 8. In 2 Maccabees, Onias III is described as a zealot for the laws of the Torah, 2 Maccabees chapter 4, verse 2. Like his predecessors, he saw Israel's manifest destiny inseparably tied to the Torah and their covenant relationship with Jehovah. Not everyone in Israel marched to the same drum, however. Increasingly, Onias III faced opposition from Hellenistic sympathizers, people who wished to incorporate Greek cultural and religious practices into their society. So great was the pressure from these Hellenists that in 175 BC, the high priest's own brother, Jason, deposed him by buying the office from the Greek king, Antiochus IV. See 2 Maccabees chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. Jason's actions had three major consequences whose ripples extended into the New Testament period. First, power over the high priest's office was given to foreign political leaders. From this point on, the office would be bought and sold for either money or political favor. 3 years after Jason bought the office, about 172 B.C., one of his senior officials, named Menelaus, beat Jason at his own game. While representing him before the king, Menelaus outbid Jason by 300 talents of silver and became the new high priest. See 2 Maccabees chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Although we have no record of money exchanges involving later high priests, down to and through the New Testament era, we do see the office being filled by political appointment. See 1 Maccabees chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. By New Testament times, this was an established practice. Second, Jason's actions gave rise to the concept of an ex-high priest who could retain considerable influence among at least some of the people. When Jason's successor, Menelaus, stole some gold vessels from the temple and sold them to neighboring cities, presumably to finance his political bribes, Onias III denounced him publicly. See 2 Maccabees chapter 4, verses 25 through 34. Angered by the opposition, Menelaus sent an assassin to Assyria to kill the ex-high priest. See 2 Maccabees chapter 4, verse 34. Third, as high priests, Jason and his two immediate successors, Menelaus and Alcimus, instituted Hellenistic reforms. The author of 2 Maccabees records that Jason abolished the lawful way of life and introduced practices which were against the law. 2 Maccabees chapter 4, verse 11. In particular, Jason established a Greek gymnasium in Jerusalem and actively encouraged the youth to participate in its activities. See 2 Maccabees chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. The gymnasium apparently became so popular that the priests were no longer intent upon their service at the altar. Instead, they despised the temple and neglected the sacrifices, hurrying to take part in the unlawful proceedings in the wrestling arena whenever the opening gong called them. They were disdaining the values and traditions prized by their ancestors, caring above everything for Hellenic honors. 2 Maccabees chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Apparently Jason, as the Jewish high priest, also sent money to be used for sacrifices to the Greek hero Hercules. See 2 Maccabees chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. These actions were certainly not in accord with the level of purity and singular dedication the Lord had outlined for his high priests. Menelaus and Alcimus also embraced Hellenistic practices. Menelaus escorted the Greek king, Antiochus IV, into the temple sanctuary when the king desecrated it and confiscated its riches. See 2 Maccabees chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. Alcimus executed a group of 60 Hasidians, a group who campaigned against the incursion of Hellenism. See 1 Maccabees chapter 7, verses 15 and 16. And he actively condemned those involved in the Maccabean revolt. See 2 Maccabees chapter 14, verses 3 through 10. Antiochus IV. In spite of the activities of these high priests, efforts at personal aggrandizement, many of the common people still resisted Greek ideas and culture. It was the foreign policy of the Seleucid king, Antiochus IV, that ignited the flames of Jewish rebellion. His vision of a Hellenistic empire, see 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verses 41 and 42, had little tolerance for nationalistic loyalties, especially when they were grounded in Judaism. In an effort to bring his Jewish subjects into line with the rest of his empire, the king decreed that it was illegal for any Judean to offer sacrifices at the temple, observe the Sabbath and other holy days, or circumcise a son. The penalty for any infraction was death. He commanded the Jews to build pagan altars and temples and to sacrifice swine and other unclean animals. See 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verses 44 through 50. In Jerusalem, the temple, the central symbol of the Jewish religion, was converted into a temple for Zeus. See 2 Maccabees chapter 5, verses 15 through 20, and chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. But Antiochus underestimated just how deeply Jewish religious feeling undergirded the society. For the most stalwart of Jews, martyrdom was preferable to betraying covenantal obligations. For example, 2 Maccabees records that the aged scribe Eleazar, as well as a mother and her seven sons, submitted to torture and execution rather than eat swine flesh. See 2 Maccabees chapter 6, verses 18 through 31, chapter 7, verses 1 through 42, and for comparison, Leviticus chapter 11, verses 7 and 8. This type of resistance led to what is known as the Maccabean Revolt. The Maccabees. In Modin, a small town 17 miles northwest of Jerusalem, a priest named Mattathias, surnamed Hasmoneus, not only refused to offer a sacrifice on a pagan altar, but responded to the imperial decree by killing the Jew who attempted to comply, along with the king's representative. See 1 Maccabees chapter 2, verses 15 through 26. Mattathias then fled into the wilderness with his five sons and anyone else who supported his stand. See 1 Maccabees chapter 2, verses 27 through 30. The author of 1 Maccabees identifies Mattathias' initial supporters as the Hasidians, a group of stalwarts of Israel, every one of them a volunteer in the cause of the law. 1 Maccabees chapter 2, verse 42. These refugee warriors became the nucleus for small pockets of organized resistance against the Greeks and Greek sympathizers. Although Mattathias only lived 1 year after initiating the revolt, his ideals and leadership lived on in his sons. A son named Judas, nicknamed Maccabee, the Hammer, stepped up the resistance efforts. Under his leadership, the war turned into a full-scale campaign. Judas and his warriors went from a local irritation to a major threat for the Seleucid government. The crowning achievement in Judas' military conquest was his recapture of the Jerusalem temple. See 1 Maccabees chapter 4, verses 36 through 41, and 2 Maccabees chapter 10, verses 1 through 9. He oversaw its purification and dedicatory festivities and initiated an annual 8-day festival known as Hanukkah. See 1 Maccabees chapter 4, verses 52 through 59, and 2 Maccabees chapter 10, verses 5 through 8. When Judas eventually fell in battle, see 1 Maccabees chapter 9, verses 11 through 22, his brother Jonathan assumed leadership. It was Jonathan's finesse as a statesman rather than a military leader, however, that built upon Judas' initial military successes and won a measure of self-rule for the Jewish freedom fighters. Perhaps his most controversial achievement was to attain the appointment as high priest. See 1 Maccabees chapter 10, verse 20, and chapter 11, verse 27. Though Jonathan was from a priestly family, see 1 Maccabees chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, he had no legal or religious claim to the high priest's role. His appointment was just one more evidence of how the position had devolved from a religious office into a political appointment. When Jonathan was killed in battle, about 143 or 142 BC, his brother Simon came to political and spiritual leadership. See 1 Maccabees chapter 13, verses 36 through 42, and chapter 14, verses 35 through 43. The highlight of Simon's reign occurred when he defeated the Jerusalem citadel, the last symbol of anti-Maccabean power in Jerusalem. 1 Maccabees chapter 13, verses 49 through 52, and thus achieved the last success of the revolt. Although 1 Maccabees ends with Simon, the Maccabean dynasty continued for another 70 years until infighting between two of Simon's great-grandsons. Hyrcanus II and Aristobulus II resulted in Roman intervention by Pompey in 63 BC and subsequent Roman political control of the Holy Land. See Antiquities of the Jews, 14.3.3-4. In Josephus, Complete Works, translated by William Whiston, 1960. New Testament Times. There are several very important ways in which the events of 1 and 2 Maccabees affected the New Testament period, when Christ and his apostles ministered to those who accepted the gospel. 1. Simon's grandson, Alexander Janneus, 176-103 BC, first elevated to political power the family from which Herod the Great would come. Simon appointed Antipater I as governor of Idumea. See Antipater 14.1.3. Herod the Great, Antipater I's son, ruled Judea under Roman authority when the New Testament opened at the time of Christ's birth. See Matthew chapter 2, verses 1-18. Herod continued his family's ties with the Maccabean family. While it was the Roman Senate that had appointed him king of the Jews, he was very much aware of the need for continued support from the Maccabean dynasty. In an effort to consolidate his political power, he married Mariamne, a great-granddaughter of Alexander Janneus, and thus an heiress to the Maccabean legacy. As one scholar notes, however, Herod saw all the members of the Maccabean family as his natural enemies. He was not only responsible for his wife's death, see Antipater 15.7.4, but he also ordered the deaths of the high priest, Aristobulus III, Mariamne's brother, see Antipater 15.3.3, Hyrcanus II, see Antipater 15.6.1-4, Mariamne's mother, see Antipater 15.7.8, and his two sons by Mariamne, Alexander and Aristobulus, see Antipater 16.10.3-7 and 11.2-7, all because their heritage and popularity with the people posed a threat to his power. Is it any surprise, then, that this same Herod would order the slaying of all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, when wise men came searching for him that is born King of the Jews? Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, and Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. 2. The books of 1 and 2 Maccabees also shed light on the development of Pharisaism. It is generally acknowledged that although their Mosaic law views probably dated as early as the Babylonian exile, the Pharisees' first appearance as a sect cannot be traced further back than the time of the Maccabean revolt. It was then that we find them first mentioned by name. See Antipater 13.10.5. It has been suggested that the Hasidians, who initially joined with the Maccabees, were in fact the ideological seedbed from which the Pharisees sprang. Certainly, during the reign of Simon Hasmoneus' son, John Hyrcanus, they appear to have been allies and aides to Hyrcanus, probably as lower officials and functionaries in the newly organized Hasmonean rule. See Antipater 13.10.5. Their close relationship with the Maccabees, however, was short-lived. Josephus reports that after a disagreement, Hyrcanus switched allegiance from the Pharisees to the Sadducees and abolished the decrees, i.e., the oral law, which the Pharisees had imposed on the people. Antipater 13.10.6. It wasn't until the reign of Hyrcanus' daughter-in-law, Alexandra, wife of Alexander Janneus, that the Pharisees regained a measure of political favor and their oral laws became binding upon the people once again. See Antipater 13.16.2. Unfortunately, there is no further mention of them until the time of Herod the Great, when their political activities drew Herod's ire. See Antipater 17.2.4. In the New Testament, they play a prominent role. Their oral laws are a major point of contention with the Savior. See Matthew chapter 15, verses 1-9, chapter 23, verses 1 through 33. And prominent individuals such as Nicodemus, see John chapter 3, verse 1, Gamaliel, see Acts chapter 5, verse 34, and Paul, see Philippians chapter 3, verse 5, are identified among their members. 3. During New Testament times, we also see two major related repercussions on the high priest's office as a result of events in the Maccabean period. The precedent that had been set during the Maccabean times when the office of high priest became a political appointment led to the death of the last Maccabean who held the position. Herod, unable to control the influential office of the high priest because of his strained relationship with the Maccabean family, made a vacancy in the office when he had Aristobulus III put to death. Herod was then free to appoint his own high priest. In fact, during his tenure, he appointed a total of 7. According to Josephus's record, Herod's successors appointed another 21 before the destruction of the temple in A.D. 70. See Antipater 20.10.1. The New Testament identifies two of these latter appointments. The Roman procurator, Quirinius, appointed Annas, see Luke chapter 3, verse 2, in A.D. 6. 9 years later, Annas was deposed by Quirinius's successor, Valerius Gratus. The latter appointed 4 high priests, the last of which was Annas's son-in-law, Joseph Caiaphas. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record that after Jesus' arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was taken and tried before the high priest. Matthew identifies this priest as Caiaphas. See Matthew chapter 26, verse 57. John records, however, that before going to Caiaphas, the chief priests and elders took Jesus first to see Annas. See John chapter 18, verses 13 and 14. This event has puzzled some New Testament readers. Why take Jesus to Annas, who had not been the high priest for a number of years? The answer is that apparently Annas, like Onias III, who had proved a thorn in the side of the Hellenists after they deposed him years earlier, still wielded a significant influence even though he had fallen out of political favor. The office he had held, established by the Lord as a calling to be passed from father to son, had degenerated into a political prize with significant power, and it was no longer a position of spiritual authority recognized by God. And as effective as the Maccabees had been in winning concessions for the Jews from foreigners who governed their land, their religious and priestly leadership did not possess the legitimate priesthood authority or the moral leadership of the high priest's office that had been lost through unrighteousness. Gospel topics: Levitical priesthood, Maccabees, Old Testament. On page 50 is located the Maccabean family tree. Matthias, who revolted in 167 BC, is at the head. He had 5 sons: John, Simon, Judas Maccabeus, Eleazar, and Jonathan. Judas ruled about 166 to 160 BC. Jonathan ruled about 160 to 143 to 42 BC. Simon ruled from 143 or 42 BC to 134 BC. Simon had 3 children: Judas, John Hyrcanus, and Mattathias. John Hyrcanus ruled about 134 to 104 BC. He had 3 sons: Aristobulus I, Antigonus, and Alexander Janneus. Aristobulus ruled about 104 to 103 BC. Alexander Janneus ruled about 103 to 76 BC. He married Salome Alexandra, ruled about 76 to 66 BC. They had 2 children, Aristobulus II and Hyrcanus II. Hyrcanus was the nominal ruler about 63 to 43 BC. Aristobulus ruled about 67 to 63 BC. He had 3 children, Mattathias Antigonus II, Alexandra, and Jonathan Alexander, who married Salome Alexandra, who was the daughter of Hyrcanus II. Mattathias Antigonus II ruled about 40 to 37 BC. Jonathan Alexander and Salome Alexandra had two children, Mariamne, who married Herod the Great, and Aristobulus III. Herod the Great ruled from 36 BC to the time of Christ. Herod the Great and Mariamne had two children, Alexander and Aristobulus. End of the article. I have a question. Who were the Maccabees, and how did they influence Jewish history? Response by Gay Strathern.